Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, you know what? I do want to address what just got said on our live stream, which, again, airs every single day that we are on the air. All 4 hours of the show. Magcraft said, and I put up on Twitter a week or two ago, I said, hey, what would you guys like to happen? And I ask this question of you all the time. What would increase your interaction with the show? Because, you know, our goal is to be highly interactive. Now, I've never once, nor would I have the audacity to, try to claim the title of the most interactive show in the South, because, you know, keep it a buck, I don't necessarily want to be, all right? I want interaction. I don't need it to be every single segment. But I want you guys on the phone lines, on the text line. I certainly want you coming and hanging out with us on the live stream. And I appreciate Magcraft and Steven and Kevin and Luke and James and Trey and Tracy and Brian and everybody else that's popped up on the live stream today and do every day. But Magcraft said, I'll tell you one thing that we could do is a call-in segment. Guys, phone lines open every segment every day. 844-326-3663. That's the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. That number is open to you every segment every day. And on top of that, we also have the Ray Memorial Hotline, which is open 24/7, 365. The Ray Memorial Hotline is available for you anytime that you want to use it. As a matter of fact, earlier this morning, we've got one in from Jaybird. I will listen to it out in Duncan, South Carolina. I'll listen to what Jaybird had to say during the next break, and we'll play it on the air for you in the next segment. But the phone line's open, 844-FANFONE, 844-326-3663. You can call in at any given point of the show. Here's what I'm not going to do. What I'm not going to do is spit a hot take or a controversial opinion just for the sake of riling up the phone line, all right? If I say something that bothers you, then the phone line's there for you. Like when I say, no, I don't particularly care that Marshall is bailed out of their phone or out of their bowl game, pardon me, because enough players left in the portal, all right? I'm not particularly bothered by that. I hate it for one group of people. The group of people I hate it for are the kids on the Marshall Thundering Herd football team that don't get to play in a bowl game that did stay after their coach left to go to Southern Miss. But no, I am not upset with a bunch of players who said, you know what, we came here to play for Huff. Huff's leaving, so am I, because this school isn't going to give me what I want them to give me to feel like it's justifiable to keep playing here. I don't care. And I got a couple of folks that texted the show and weren't big fans of that. Okay? Weren't big fans of that. That's okay. But that's why the phone line is open every segment, every day at 844-326-3663. Call in at any point during the show. Have at it.
I think another thing is, I think some people will equate a successful show to a bunch of calls. It's not necessarily the truth.
Nah. I mean, listen, do I want callers on the show? Absolutely. We are your megaphone. We are your voice to the world. That is why I give the phone number just about every segment. At the same time, if I never get a call, we're still going to do the show. The show's still going to be fine. The numbers are the numbers. And the three crystal trophies that Lonzo and I have put together in 5 years of doing the show from the South Carolina Broadcasters Association say we're doing all right. All right? I want you on the show. That's why we have a phone line. It's why we have a text line. It's why we have social media pages across every platform. It's why we have the Ray Memorial Hotline. It's why I give you my email address, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. Send them in. I give you as much as I can give you. Have at it. The phone lines, the text lines, the tweet lines, the Facebook lines, the email lines, all the lines are open in there for you. But I'm not going to, respectfully, I don't mean this to sound bad. I'm not begging for them, all right? If you want in, I want you in. If you care enough to call or text or tweet or email or use the Ray Memorial Hotline, you'll get your stuff on the air. But I'm not going to beg for it because I don't need it. All right, we got plenty of stuff to get to. Let's see, a couple of texts that have come in so far. Texter says, Rob, Marshall has a bunch of quitters. You know, that used to be a take that Mark Ryan used to have that drove me up a wall. He'd go, if you don't play in the bowl game, you're a quitter. I mean, again, is a meaningless bowl game really, like, is that our standard of excellence? I mean, there are going to be some coaches who are going to tell you you should attack the bowl game like you attack every other game. But here's the reality. I don't think coaches do it either. All right. I think coaches take advantage of those 17 practices and a paycheck. Sure, I would too. But like when you tune in the bowl game, is next year's All-American playing? Not most games, right? Like these kids sign up to play for a school for a reason. I've given you what I think the three C's of recruiting are. Cash, culture, coach. Those are the three things. One of those three, two or all three of those things are going to get a player to come play for your school. Cash, culture, or coach. And just like you, and I'm speaking directly to you, person who said, is he talking about me? Yes, I am. I am talking directly to and about you. Just like when you go out there and you are on the hunt for a job, there are things that you look at that you place as a major reason, that you would take a job, right? Am I wrong? Stop me when I'm lying. Compensation is one of those things. Workplace culture is one of those things. Your direct report, your direct supervisor, do you like them? Do you get along with them? And here's the thing. If I go sign up for a job and I hate the manager, but the job is going to pay me three or four times more than any other job that I was going to take, I might decide, you know what, I really can't stand the guy I'm working for, but this company is going to pay me so much that I can't afford, literally, to say no to it. So I'm just going to put up with a manager that I can't stand because they're paying me too much not to do that. And there may be a job that, it's going to pay me as much as all the other jobs, but I show up and I go, I really like the guy I'm working for. He gets it. He understands it. He gets it. He feels me. And because of that, I'm going to go sign up to play for that guy, or in this case, work for that guy. Even though maybe they don't even pay me as much as another gig, I actually really like this manager. I really like this guy or this gal. I'm going to go sign up to work for them. Or I might show up and go, they're not going to pay me as much as some of the other jobs. But when I went through the interview, they said, hey, we really value work-life bonus work-life balance. You know, we're the type of place that goes, hey, if you need a mental health day, because you're feeling bogged. I'm going to tell you the truth. I felt bogged down last week. I was not in a good head spot last week. I was down. I was out. I had the holiday blues, and I can't explain where it came from. It just got to be about Thursday afternoon, and I was just in a real bad mood. I didn't have any explanation for it. Now, fortunately for me, I genuinely love my job. But I've been in jobs before where I feel like, you know, I can't come in and do my best work today. I just can't. And I've been in a job before where I could call the manager and be like, look, dude, if I come in today, I'm going to hold you back. I can't contribute today. I'm not in a good headspace. And that manager went, got it. No worries. Take the day. Get yourself right. Let us know when you're ready to get back to it. And I've also been in places before where I've had managers that go, you absolute sissy, get your ass into work. And I just had to do it, right? That is the culture that we're talking about. Well, if these Marshall kids signed on because they really like their coach, and their coach went to them, whether it is true or not, their coach went to them and said, look, boys, I wanted to stay here. I wanted to be a part of it, but they're not going to pay me the way I deserve to be paid, and so I'm out. I'm out. I'm gone. And these kids signed up to play for the coach or to play for the culture that the coach was building for the Marshall Thundering Heart. Then I have no problem. I don't have any more of a problem with these players saying, yeah, this ain't what I signed up for, than I have with the coach saying, this ain't what I signed up for, right? Like if the coach has the opportunity to go, you know, I came here with certain expectations, and those expectations just aren't being met, so I'm going to coach down at Southern Miss. I am out. If you're not mad at the coach for deciding, yeah, there's a better fit for me, be it because of their cash or their culture, then why would I be mad at players for doing literally the exact same thing? Why, if a coach decides to leave a small school because another big school calls him and goes, hey, yo, we will pay you twice what you're making there. And you're like, okay, I understand the coach taking that job and taking that bank. Then why would you be upset with players doing it? Because the only reason I've ever gotten is effectively, I don't like it. Right? That's the best argument, and it's not a good argument, but that's the best argument anybody has ever given to me. I don't like it. I think they should have to. What kind of lesson does it teach? Well, I don't know about you, but the lesson it teaches me is get that bag. If somebody else is willing to pay you more to do the same work, and they provide you with an environment and a management team that you are willing to tolerate in return for that bag, go get that bag. If anybody else in your life, if your barber who's been cutting your hair for X amount of years, if your barber said, yo, I've enjoyed cutting your hair all these years, but the barber shop in the next town over is going to pay me three times what the barber shop here is paying me to do the same job, I got to take it. Are you going to call that guy a quitter? Are you going to look that guy in the face and go, oh, you're not committed. You don't have discipline. You're greedy. Whatever. No, you're going to go, yeah, I understand. I get it. I lost my exterminator that I really liked last year. This dude did a great job. He showed up and he sprayed every part of my house and he laid down traps. I never asked him to. Didn't have to. He showed up and he did everything I needed him to do. I didn't have a bug issue for a year and a half. And then he came to my house for the last checkup he did. And he said, hey man, FYI, I'm moving. And I said, oh, why? And he said, I'm going over to Spartanburg. I got a role as a manager with another company and I got a big pay bump. And I was like, great. His name was Troy, super dude. Troy, if you're listening, shout out. Miss you, buddy. Troy was great. Every time Troy would come to the house, he'd stand in the living room. We'd talk football. He listened to the show. He was phenomenal, right? He was phenomenal. And Troy left. Did I go, Troy, you're so greedy. Troy, you're a quitter. Troy, I really like the way you do work here, and I don't want you to go to make money somewhere else because I don't like it. No. I shook his hand, and I said, all right, bro, I'm going to miss you. You did great work. If you ever need a recommendation, I'm your guy. Hate to see you go, but congratulations. I'm happy for the opportunity you have. I didn't call him a quitter, right? Why is this the one group? Well, we're trying to teach them to be good young men. Well, I got to tell you right now, good young men are smart about the opportunities placed in front of them and know how to take advantage of them to better themselves. Isn't that literally the entire American dream? Isn't that literally the system that we have set up in front of us? Why are we mad that they are taking place and acting within this system? I don't get it. The kids at Marshall aren't quitters. They said, I signed up to do a role under these circumstances. The circumstances have changed, and I can better myself somewhere else. And listen, here's the fun part. Some of those kids might jump in the portal, and nobody wants them. Some of those kids might jump in the portal, and nobody signs them. And all of a sudden, just like that, as fast as they got into college football, they're right back out of it. With adult options comes adult consequences. If your barber leaves town to go across town, go to the next town over and make three times as much money, but then he gets over there and he finds out he's living next to a hippie commune and nobody cuts their hair there, and the money dries up, guess what? He may not have the opportunity to come back to his old job. They may fill that role and go, hey, sorry, big dog, we don't need you anymore. With adult opportunity comes adult consequences. You better do your damn research and make sure you're making a good move for yourself. These kids have the opportunity, just like the coach does, to go, Southern Miss is going to treat me better. They're going to pay me more. They're going to give me more vacation days. They're going to give me more resources. They have more money. Whatever his reason for going was, all these kids are doing is the exact same thing. The exact same thing. All right, Texter says, you're still wrong with the filibuster. Don't accept the bowl game if you're not playing. Figure that out first. Again, Marshall accepts a bowl invite, not the kids. They don't run it into the locker room and go, hey guys, you guys going to want to go play in the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl? Marshall gets invited, and Marshall says, yeah, we accept that bowl invite. But remember, the other aspect of this is they did that before the coach said, bleep you, I'm out.
All right, so I don't know how this works. Are the coaches consulted before the school itself, the powers that be, decide to go, yeah, we're going to accept that? Aren't the coaches consulted? I would think the coaches would be a part of the process.
I, you know what? I honestly don't know. That's a great question. I'll see if I can find out an answer to that. I don't know. But I know who's not consulting. The players. They didn't come to the players and go into the locker room and goes, hey, guys, how many of y'all are planning on transferring? Because we're not going to accept this invite if you don't. No, they're going to say, we're taking that invite, and we hope we can scrape together a team, because if we scrape together a team, we get money for playing in this game. So we're going to say yes, and if it ends up being we can't play, so what? We'll have to say thanks but no thanks later, but we're going to try to get that money and scrape together a team. Well, the head coach leaves. He goes, nope, y'all didn't scrape together the money for me, so I'm out. And then the players go, hey, I signed up to play for that guy, so I'm out. It is what it is.
Maybe the process going forward should be consulting the players to find out, because how many players have entered the transfer portal? It's been a lot.
It's north of 25 at this point.
Yeah, I'm talking about period throughout college football.
My bet is this transfer portal window is probably going to be a record number. I think there was something like 1,500 in the portal last year at this time. So probably I'm going to say 1,700 or north players
in the
portal.
So I think going forward, that is something you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go into the locker room or call a meeting and consult with the players and say, hey, you guys going to play in this? Because it looks bad on the team if they accept the invitation and then have to go back on it.
I'll tell you the other option is, and here again, this is why guidelines at the beginning of this process, when I was screaming, hey, put the guidelines down now, would be a good thing. The other option would be, don't have a winter transfer portal. Or if you do, make it after bowl season. Let's have a transfer window that ends after a champion is crowned. Extend the second window, make it like a month and a half long, make it 2 months long, right? When the championship is handed out on January 20th or whatever night it is, open the portal the next day. Lane Kiffin was talking about this on Twitter. And while I think Lane has been, as much as I love me some Joey Freshwater, and y'all know I do, Lane has been kind of insufferable since Ole Miss didn't make the playoffs, which makes sense. I get it. He was disappointed. He genuinely felt like his team should have been next in line for their way in. But Lane said last week, why don't we change it to where the window doesn't open in the midst of bowl season so this can't happen? Now, again, that's not to say that if you're playing for Marshall and the coach leaves and you know you're leaving too, you just opt out yourself. Oh, sorry, I got a bum ankle. I can't play. I got a bum leg. I can't play. I'm out. I mean, I don't know what it changes. You can move the window, but at the end of the day, if a kid doesn't want to be there, then why would you try to force them to do it, right? Like, in what other world do we do that? Hey, sorry, exterminator, that you got this big offer to move over to the Berg and double your salary to take over a leadership role, but I'm closing the exterminator transfer window. You can't go over there. Why not? Because I said so. Because I don't like it. There's no world we do that in. There's no world we do that in. All right. Keep your text going. 71307. Start your text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N. We will read them on the air. Joey B. said, my only hate for the portal is it should open later. Crazy that Noble Johnson could leave Clemson and transfer to a school that Clemson could play in 2 weeks, bringing all of Clemson's signals with him. Again, I would say this. Close the window to where you can go ahead and enter the portal, but you can't have communication with another school. You can't sign with another school until February. Make the portal window line up with National Signing Day. Let's just do all National Signing Day. High school recruits and transfer portal recruits all at the same time, and that way we don't have to worry about that. I mean, there's options on the table. But telling kids you can't or you don't or you won't because I don't like it, it don't sit right with me. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Just keep it a buck here. A lot of Taylor Swift talk on the live stream today during the breaks, all right? Listen, most of us who have thoughts on Taylor Swift, she ain't for us. She's not for us, all right? Like, and when I say not for us, I don't mean like as a person. I mean like what is recorded and dropped on an album, you're not the demo, all right?
Yeah, this is not the demographic for her.
Yeah. You're not the demo. Like, don't get me wrong. I like me some Tay-Tay, all right? I think she's good. But I also have to recognize, like, not every Taylor song is going to connect with me because she's not for me. Well, I think one of the hardest things for a lot of people to recognize is that not everything's for you, Chief. Like, not everything is made worried about how you feel about it. If you don't like a thing, just move on from it.
I have the artist that will make people okay with it. You know, the fact that every time Taylor Swift is shown, it makes some people angry, which is, I don't understand it. If it's Dolly Parton, do people get angry?
No, because anybody out there gets Dolly Parton angry is Dolly the Parton? Queen.
Yeah, yeah.
Dolly for president 2028. All right, next time we run this back, can we just all collectively vote for Dolly Parton? She deserves it. We deserve it. I'm just saying.
Now, if Dolly Parton would just date someone in the NFL who's fairly famous already... then they could show her like, yeah, I mean, we could do that. We probably make that happen.
I mean, we probably could. And honestly, probably should.
Or maybe one of the coaches. I mean, the coaches are pretty young too.
I mean, Sean McVay's younger than me, like by a significant number of years. So, all right, let me get to some thoughts. If you missed it earlier in the show, during the audio blitz at 8 o'clock, Rich Eisen had a take after the flag planting controversy. I'm going to play this because we got a message about it on the Ray Memorial Hotline. Here's what Rich said. So this is what I told the great one last week when we were having the conversation about the one Ohio legislator who said, look, we're going to make it illegal, a felony to plant the flag on the 50 in Ohio Stadium. Lonzo said, oh, it's funny. It's a troll. It's funny.
By the way, it's still funny.
And I said, it's going to...
If Rich didn't comment on this, his Michigan people would have come after him, and you don't want them coming after you. So he had to comment on it.
For whatever the reason, it is objectively hilarious, in my opinion. Well, Rich isn't the only one that had a take, because earlier in the day on the Ray Memorial Hotline, we had Jay Bird stop by and give his thoughts. He's out in Duncan, South Carolina, and here's what Jay Bird had to say. Thank you, Jay Bird. Appreciate
it's
that text.
It's funny that I already had that ready. I mean, it was just right there, and I had a feeling. If it leads to fracases, if it leads to Donnybrooks, if it leads to mayhem, stop doing it. And it's going to do that because now it's been given even more attention. So players are like, they plant that flag out. Someone getting some of this.
Yeah, but doesn't that create a world in which if you don't want a thing to happen anymore, just punch somebody in the face when they do it? Right? So like, does that mean if every time a team scores a tutty and they celebrate in the end zone, if one of the other people go over there and punch them in the mouth, we go, no more end zone celebrations. Can't do it because it starts at Donnybrook.
You're going to have to change your tune when someone actually gets hurt.
again. What if we said, no fighting after the game? All right? No fighting after the game. Once the game's over, the game's over. If you lose, you lose. Get off the field. And even if it's your field, sucks to be you. Don't lose at home, right? Like, I'm not going to live in a world where we are going to let a mass of people change any rule they want just by beating the crap out, or trying to, out of whoever does the thing they don't like.
That's like war, dude. That's how war works that way. So one place disagrees with what another place does, they beat the crap out of that place, and then what they say goes.
Right! Don't we have an issue with that? That's literally what I'm saying.
But that's
we should stop that.
It's been the way, yeah.
Yes, it's been the way, and we should stop that.
It's been the way of the world since forever, and probably not going to stop.
I mean, listen,
you can sit over there and sing Give Peace a Chance. It's probably not.
All I am asking is give peace. No, I'm not. I'm with Jay. You know what? I have been, and for the record, I've been spun around on this issue since Rivalry Weekend, because Rivalry Weekend, the next day I'm like, yeah, that's probably a little much. Like, it's the ultimate sign of disrespect.
Do you remember that many fights coming after this? Because it wasn't just Ohio State. It was what, four games?
UNC, NC State, Florida State, and almost Texas A&M, but Sark ran over and stopped his boys from planting their flag on the road. So we had three fights in an almost fight. And listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, there will be more next year, because now it's a thing, right? Now it's a thing. But I think part of the reason it's a thing is because we drew so much attention to it, instead of going, deh. They planted some flags.
It's been a thing before, because again, like when this happened, I pointed out how Baker Mayfield did it back in the day. So it's been a thing.
If I recall correctly, both Clemson and South Carolina have planted their flags in the last couple of years.
It's instigating. You're asking for something to happen, and it's dumb.
Why do I get the sneaky suspicion?
It's just dumb.
Why do I get the sneaky suspicion that if we flip the squads, this game was in Ann Arbor, Ohio State won, and they planted a big scarlet at M.
No, I have a problem with it. I also have a problem when the band did a big poo on the Michigan league. I mean, that's just,
they broke out a flag with the poop emoji on it. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
There's a level of class, and there's a place. We don't do that here. I mean, class is not a thing that we worry about. But in such a big stage, I think you've got to go, okay, if this happens, this is what's going to happen afterwards. Maybe as a coaching staff, we make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't really care. It didn't bother me when Baker Mayfield did it and kind of started. Not that he started the trend, but he was kind of the most high-profile version of it.
Institute the smallest flag you can possibly have and say the band can only carry this small flag here.
Nah. I'm not down. Just like with the NFL, when they said no choreographed end zone dances because it's inciting an issue.
So as an advocate for this, if someone gets hurt, they can send the hospital bill to you.
No. Here's an idea.
Okay.
Here's an idea.
Because you're all for it.
The issue is the fighting. The issue is the fighting. I don't care what else happens after that, all right? The issue is the fighting. If I run out there during a play and I take if one of your players drops a towel with a big scarlet O and a Michigan player takes it and he wipes his bum with it and throws it at a guy, or let's say I say at a guy, because throwing it at a guy is the taunting, but if he wipes his bum and then he just tosses it back on the field, should we outlaw that?
So if I defeat you again this week, like I will on the mic thing, mm-hmm. I can just walk over and smack you in the face.
Is that the same thing as planting a flag?
It is.
If you walk,
it is the same thing.
If instead of, absolutely, it's not. Slapping someone in the face is not the same thing. That is a physical. Lonto, I'll tell you what. If we get to the end of the week and you beat me for what would now be the third week in a row. No, we tied last week.
Which is a win and a loss.
So no, it's not. It's neither, because
you don't understand
that's how words work. No, you don't understand how words work.
I definitely,
if it was a different thing, we wouldn't have a different word for it. But if you beat me in our who forgets to turn on their mic the most game this week, and we get to Friday and it's 9:55 a.m. and the week's over and I can't lose because I'm not turning the mic off again and you're not turning yours off again, and you decide that you play some sort of victory song on the air, do you know what I'm going to do about it? Nothing. There's nothing I can do. I'm going to sit there and go, daggummit. Gosh darn it, I lost. I got to do better next week. I'm not going to drop another one. If you victory dance after a victory, I'm not going to slam the door and get mad and walk out of here and try to legislate Lonzo's not allowed to play victory music. I'm going to go, I got beat. What do you want? I lost. It's a game. I lost. The problem is not the flag. The problem is the fighting.
Would that be written legislation, or how would that work?
Literally, your state made a written legislation. Yes, that's the whole comedy here.
You would. I don't understand the anger about the legislation. I still think that's hilarious.
It's not anger. It's hilarious. It's laughing at you, not with you.
I completely understand the point of planting the flag, but I also understand that repercussions come with that, and it's only going to escalate. And it's only going to get worse next year until to the point where they have to make a rule where the other team gets fined a bunch of money and then it'll stop. That's the only way it'll stop.
We do like we've always done.
They'll let it get out of hand. Then they'll throw money into it and that'll make it stop.
We do like we've always done. We investigate who threw the first punch, and that's the person that's in trouble. That's the school that's in trouble. You don't want a flag planted on your 50. Don't lose the game. It's not that hard. And I am now suddenly team rich. If I'm Tennessee, I'm not bringing a flag. I'm bringing like one of those side of the interstate truck stop American flags. It's 800 miles across. I'm just erecting a whole flagpole at center field if we win this game. For sure.
I'm looking forward to seeing your Tennessee colors the rest of the week then.
Oh, I'm not a Tennessee fan.
You said your team rich. That's what he's talking about doing. So, I mean, I'm going to have to deal with that kind of orange the rest of the week.
No, I'm not a Tennessee guy. I'm a pro flag planning guy. Me and Jay Bird from Duncan. Jay Bird, appreciate that message on the Ray Memorial Hotline. You can send yours. Go to the Audacy app, AUDACY. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on the Leave a Voice Message button and do that. And if it's good, we'll get it on the air like we did with Jay Bird back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Didn't like that at all. Didn't like that at all, Lonzo.
Read your email.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but you can't read it out loud.
Oh, okay.
But there's a bold printed thing in the email. If you just open it up really quick, you'll see why I'm laughing. Now you see why I'm laughing. Sorry, guys. We can't tell you what it is, but still.
I mean, you'll find out soon enough, but
It's ironic, isn't it? It says not to say anything.
Oh, I know. So you can't. That's what I said. You'll find out soon enough. I can't say anything about it now, but you'll find about it soon enough. That seems like big. And also, yes, for today's show content, absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. All right, a few more thoughts before we ask what the X is going on and then get up out of here for the day. U.S. Ryder Cup team. Americans will, for the first time, be paid for the Ryder Cup this year. Each player will receive a $200,000 stipend. Lonzo, you know, when I go cover events, I get a stipend too.
What?
Like when I go up to ACC Media Days, I get like a per diem stipend.
Really?
For food. And
That's a bunch of crap is because the one time I went, I didn't get anything.
I should have asked.
No, they won't know because I'm...
You don't ask for things.
No, I'm lesser.
You don't ask for things.
No, I'm lesser.
No.
I had to go there and set everything up and then watch Mark Ryan do nothing. That's what I had to do.
Did you ask?
Now I know that he got... Dude.
Gotta ask. Gotta ask. The U.S. players ask. They get a $200,000 per day stipend.
Yeah, I just...
$200,000
I don't even want to talk to you right now
stipend.
Knowing that you get per diem and I don't.
Because I asked, Lonzo.
Uh-huh. That ain't how that works.
Yes, it
Your
is.
Your talent, so it was offered to you.
Yeah, that's it. That's
My picture's
it.
On the side of the building.
The point here
I want
is,
per diem now, too.
So ask.
Shouldn't
guy
have,
who refuses to negotiate
shouldn't
anything.
To. Shouldn't have to.
Yes, that's not how the work... Okay, anyway, Mark, point is...
Rob, do you know who I am?
Point is, $200,000 per day stipend, I get $40. So, not quite there yet. We're on the way, though. We're well on the way.
Well, $40 more than I get.
Because you don't ask. I have to tell you. It's kind of on you. All right? I'm victim blaming here.
I'm going down to the office and demanding the back pay.
Well, you got
to
go do stuff.
For all those times. I've done things. Let me tell you, Junior. I was doing things before you started in radio.
Okay, Boomer. Okay, Boomer.
Nope, that's not how that works. Gen X, baby, all
the
way.
Okay, Boomer, whatever you say. Wait, I forgot where I was going next. I really did.
You wanted me to get a hold of AARP and wonder where your card is.
Nah, I didn't.
Oh, no, you already got it. Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
My bad.
The mail has started to show up. Miami / former Clemson athletic director Dan Radakovich said yesterday the college football playoff selection committee should revisit the way that they have elected to release rankings. In fact, they say they should revisit whether it should release a ranking during the week of conference championship game at all. The Miami Hurricanes, of course, invited to the ever prestigious Pop-Tarts Bowl. Which, by the way, did you see the Pop-Tarts Bowl trophy they released yesterday?
I have not.
The sentence I'm about to say is true and also weird. The Pop-Tarts Bowl trophy has been released, Alonzo. It is a silver pedestal upon which sits a silver football with a working toaster built into it. A working toaster so that the winning team can take the trophy into the locker room and then make Pop-Tarts with the trophy.
So okay.
I want one.
So how long is the cord?
I don't know.
Is it like retractable, maybe?
I don't know. They only showed the trophy itself. They did not spin it around so that we could see the appliances specifications. I will say right now, though, hey, Pop-Tarts Bowl, you want to ship one of those trophies up to me in the great one? I'll make Pop-Tarts live on the air every day if I can make them in a Pop-Tarts Bowl trophy. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. That's spectacular. Anyway, the Miami Hurricanes set to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Their AD yesterday, speaking at the Pop-Tarts Bowl, said, quote, "It was a really difficult 4 or 5 days for the players, both at Alabama and at our place. SMU loses. What are they in the middle of at that point in time? The NCAA basketball tournament, there's some parallels to it, but you're either going to be in or you're going to be out when it's all unveiled, right? Sometimes that's a better way," end quote. Lieutenant General Richard Clark, the CFP executive director, said during a Sports Journal Intercollegiate Athletics Forum panel last week in Las Vegas that he did not think 6 rankings were too many. He said, quote, "I think it's good for the game. I think it gives people a sense of how we see teams from that 8th week on." So Dan Radakovich says, we want fewer rankings released. The CFP says, nope, we're good. In fact, we might potentially even end up with more, but we're definitely good with where we are. Look, guys, I've told you this before. You can fall on whatever side of the spectrum you fall on. You can say, okay, it's awesome that we start releasing after week 8. It's awesome that we have a handful of weeks of buildup. You can say, oh, it's really dumb. Why not wait until later to release them so that maybe teams don't have their season impacted by where they are or have to change the way that they're playing or whatever. Fall on whatever end of the spectrum you want to fall on. At the end of the day, none of it matters. At the end of the day, as with everything else, there is only one thing that matters with all this, which is, does it generate more revenue? And if the answer is yes, doing it this way generates more revenue, then the reality is that's the way they're going to do it. All right? That's the way they're going to do it. So Dan Radakovich can be as upset with all of this as he wants. And I understand he's sourpuss because of the fact that his squad got left out. I understand. Of course, if you didn't lose to Syracuse, you wouldn't have gotten left out. But hey, that's a different conversation for a different time. But here's the reality. It generates interest for a number of weeks. Those playoff rankings are what we talk about. And not only do we talk about them, but we spend a lot of time talking about them. Do we talk about them? Yes. And what ends up happening during the regular season? All of the sudden, one of the most difficult television times and nights to be ranked in, Tuesday PMs at 8 o'clock. What show comes on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock? Like 60 minutes, right? It's just a hard time to get television notice.
NXT, baby. On
okay,
CW.
Outside of wrestling, baby. Outside of wrestling, because real fans show up. Outside of wrestling, what on Tuesday night shows up in the rankings? Not much, right? And now all of a sudden, here's this college football show that dominates the television ratings on a Tuesday night. And then not only does it dominate the television ratings on a Tuesday night, but it dominates the television ratings on a Tuesday night. And then on a Wednesday morning, Rob Brown and a bunch of nerds with microphones like him go on the radio the next day. And they start talking about it. And they talk about it on Wednesday. And they talk about it on Thursday. And they talk about it on Friday. And then they talk about it on Saturday morning. And then they talk about it on Saturday night and Sunday. And then on Monday, we talk about what they're going to do on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, we talk about what they're going to do that night. And when it's all said and done, we all tune back in and watch the college football ranking show again on Tuesday night. It's not going to... I appreciate what old Dan Radakovich is trying to do here. I appreciate and understand his point. In fact, I've said a couple of times, much like releasing the preseason polls is, if we can keep it a buck with each other, kind of stupid because they're really wrong more often than they're right. As we pointed out, the Florida State Seminoles were ranked number 10 in the preseason polls. They finished 2-10. The preseason polls are dumb and worthless, but they're never going to stop releasing them. Why not? Because we all talk about them. And at the end of the day, publicity is money, and money is the key. Money's the game. So I get what old Dan Radakovich is saying here, but when they say Tuesday night's the ranking reveal, and Mario calls me and says, Rob Brown, we're going to move you on Tuesdays from 8:20 to 9 p.m. so that you can come on and talk about the rankings after they drop instead of before. There's a reason for that. Mario moved me to 9 because that's where the rankings are so I can talk about them because they are a talking point. Guys, you'll get used to it one day. You'll get used to it one day. But every decision that gets made with the bottom dollar, the bottom line, as its number one directive.
Sorry. Distracted.
You know. Rich Eisen's in your head?
Oh, no. It's not Rich Eisen. All right, the first thing that's Eisen, because if I don't look at the text or answer the text, he'll be down here. So the show can just do whatever it does. All right, the first thing that's Eisen is Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa is actually, I did see something about there's like a movie coming out or a documentary or coming out about, I don't know if that's why it's trending, but there was something about either the theft of at one point in history or an attempt at a theft of the Mona Lisa.
All right. So here's the thing. No one seems to know why Mona Lisa is trending, but I did see a picture of something that my wife just happened to be watching yesterday because it just happened to be on TV. Of another very famous Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa Saperstein from Parks and Rec?
No.
Mona Lisa from My Cousin Vinny?
Yes.
Yeah! What's up, girl? What's up?
People just forget how pretty she was. And still
Marissa
is.
Tomei still is. Yeah, somebody still put up is. A thing the other day of her, she for her 60th, where she was like laid back on a couch in a dress, yes. And she like kicked her, yes, leg up in the air. And some weirdo dude on Twitter was like, if you're attracted to this, a lady can't provide care. And I'm like, you're weird, dude.
Yeah, there are.
You're
those
a weird
out there.
Dude.
There's
some. Like, if you look at Marissa Tomei and don't think we should all be so lucky, I don't know what to tell you. She's the lady version of Sam Elliott. Somehow, just keeps getting hotter.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're 16, maybe you look at her and go, isn't that Peter Parker's mom from
Spider-Man? Mom? You mean aunt?
My bad.
Come on, Lonzo!
Well, they're not very informed, those people. All right, the next person that is Eisen, or thing that is Eisen, rather, is Superman.
Is it because of the Christopher Reeve documentary that's out, or is there something coming out very soon that I don't know about?
The new trailer drops Thursday.
Okay.
For the James Gunn movie.
Yeah.
I'm concerned. Watching Creature Commandos is not the same. It doesn't have that something. That
je ne sais quoi.
I ain't speaking French here. It's missing something. I hope Superman's not like that. So we'll see. All right, the next thing that's...
How is Creature... I've seen a bunch of clips from that, but I haven't gotten a chance to sit down and watch it yet.
Parts of it are really good. The first it's one of those things, if you judge it by the first episode, you might go, eh.
Okay.
But if you get to the second episode was really good. Okay. The third episode's okay. So I think it may have to do with how much you care about each of the different characters, because they're kind of getting their own spotlight in each of the episodes.
I'm a big fan of G.I. Robot. I'm interested to see how that goes.
I do think you'll like that. This last episode was mostly about G.I. Robot. So
yay!
Yeah, and the one this weekend coming up is going to be all about Weasel.
Big fan.
Something that I've never been able to say on the air. All right, the next thing that's X-ing is aliens.
Y'all got to stop with this damn drone thing, all right? Y'all got
to
stop with
this
damn drone thing.
Well, the drones need to stop. That's what needs to stop.
Look.
Although, the thing is, we talked about this Saturday, some people are saying that the drones are actually searching for dirty bombs, and that's why they're showing up where they're showing up. If that is true...
Oh, all of a sudden we're big drone guys now?
No.
Big drone guys now.
No, if that is true, I'd rather it be aliens. So, I mean, because that means dirty bomb about ready to go off, and that's going to cause a lot of problems.
Yes,
aliens might just be here to mess with us. Aliens could be just trolling.
Or
they could
be trolling. Hear me out. All the places these drones are showing up are all next to major military installations. They're just trying out some new stuff. And the reason the government doesn't know anything about it is because they're not going to come out and be like, hey, our military is actually experimenting with high-level technology right over your house.
That's what ex-drone guy who used to work on drones in the military said that they're doing.
Yes.
They're doing that, searching for dirty bombs.
I mean, maybe so.
Yeah.
So. But again, also, the number of ex-military, allegedly, dudes that's out here making these comments, and then it turns out, oh, by the way, I'm selling a book. Shocking.
Yeah,
shocking that you would make these weird comments and then sell a book.
I don't think that this guy that I saw is selling a book.
I got into it with a lady this weekend because she's like, there's a marine biologist who says these drones are making animals crawl up out of the ocean. And I went and looked the guy up, and it's the guy who's in charge of like the UFO conspiracy theory network. And he has like 19 books out. And I'm like, oh, you're telling me the guy that sells books to people who are afraid about animals crawling out of the ocean due to aliens is trying to tell you animals are crawling out of the oceans? Stop listening to crazy people.
You are like,
just think for five minutes.
You're like the government naysayer about the X-Files and the Men in Black and all those. Those are all based in truth.
Oh, you mean all those fictional movies?
All those are based in truth.
You mean all those movies about fictional things that have never, ever, 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 ever been shown to be true? Those things? Yes, you're right. That's exactly what I am.
If they were shown to be true, then they wouldn't be covert anymore. Duh.
Have a good rest of your day. I don't know why we keep ending shows like this. We'll see you guys back here on Tuesday, tomorrow. That's the next day, right? Have a great rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Up. Say later.